Help us dry out a little bit, please. But rain on us in a spiritual way in here. Fill us with your word, your love, your praise, your thanksgiving, your glory. Fill us with cooperation. Fill us with partnership. Fill us with companionship. Fill us with everything that is needed, that we will learn we are not here in God's family to be alone. We are here to become intimate with all God's people. We are here to grow in being a partner, to grow in cooperating, that no matter what an individual Christian goes through or a family goes through or a couple goes through, we will be there to share in their experience, in the sacrifices they are having to make at the moment just to make it. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for loving us as you do. And we pray that your love that is in us will go forth, and others that are around us may receive your love and know what it is like to be loved with the love of Almighty God. There's so many lessons this morning. Give me the words that you want me to say, so I'll not waste my words nor waste your time. Your word is the most important word. It is the word of the kingdom. It is a word of absolute reality and absolute truth. It is the word we need to hear in all and every situations in life. Grow us together. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your printout if you have it. You'll notice Revelation 1:9 is right on top. There's a title below that called A Companion in Tribulation. There's another title I'm going to add to it. Used to see it in the locker room, football. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. That's not just for athletics, football teams, basketball, baseball. It is also for the church. When the going gets tough, the spiritual Christian, grounded in the Word of God, is going to keep going. Is going to keep going forward in the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's another title you can add. Stay in the fight. Stay in the fight. Those that just want to hear feel-good messages do not like to hear that statement. Are you telling me that as a Christian, I have stepped onto the battlefield? Yes. Are you telling me as a Christian that I'm to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is yes. Are you telling me I'm to stand my ground and not back away? The answer is absolutely yes. When the going gets tough, the spiritual Christian is going to be there to partner with you and to help you go forward and to help you stay in the fight. We're all engaged in spiritual warfare, like it or not, know it or not. We are all to fight that battle by the Word of the living God. The Word of God is not dead, it is alive. And the God of the Word is very much alive. He is not dead. Amen. Let's begin looking at verse 9. I want you to do something for me we started doing previous. Verse 9, Revelation chapter 1. I, John, would you just write your name above John? We're going to make this, again, very, very personal. I, Terry. I, John. I, Joey. I, Pat. I, Paul. I, Eddie. I, George. I, Kyle. I, Harold. I, Terry, who also am your brother. Underline the word brother, please. And also underline that word companion while you're at it. As you circle brother and companion, draw a line to connect the two words, please. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion, and here's the note, in experiencing the kingdom of God and the reality of God's ruling power. I'll repeat that. I, your brother, I also your companion, in experiencing the kingdom of God and the reality of God's ruling power. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion. Underline the word companion if you haven't already circled it or underlined it. And here's the definition of companion: a co-partner. All of us in the body of Christ are co-partners. One who shares in. I did not realize how this would all play out in a situation where Don Cranford, I understand, did not actually drown but had a heart attack. When I got that call from Marcia, I could tell she was crying on the other end of the phone. She said, "I need you right now. Don has drowned." That's what they heard at the beginning. But later to find out, he hadn't drowned. It was a heart attack. But focus on the words, "Terry, I need you right now." That's what a brother in Christ is all about. When you get that call from another brother and sister that is going through something that is very difficult, that has just pinned them to the wall, and they have no understanding of really what has happened and why it has happened. She said, "Terry, I should have gone before Don. I'm the one that's got arthritis. I'm the one that has to stay in bed 2 or 3 days at a time or more. He's the one that has to take the lid off of jars. I cannot do that. My hands are so eat up, and many of you have seen that. Surely God knows that. Surely He understood that. And surely He would say, 'Okay, Marcia, I'm going to take you before I take Don.'" It did not go that way. Our time is allotted. Our time is designated. There is a set time that I'm going to die and you're going to die. It is non-negotiable. And when that time comes, it is going to happen, and nothing or no one is going to stop it. What made my heart really light up is that I saw some people already there. Virginia and her husband. I followed them. Here comes Anise. Do you see how important it was at the time that we be what we needed to be, a brother or sister, a companion, a partner in Christ, because somebody needed somebody else. She needed somebody to lean on. She needed somebody to cry. She needed that shoulder to cry on. She had to ask those questions Most of the time, I don't have all the answers. I saw Pat and Conley, as many of you would have done, open up what we call the bunkhouse. So the family members could stay over there. It would have been really crowded at Marcia and Don's place. I hope you're getting this. John says, whatever you go through, I'll be there. Whatever you go through, be certain that I'm going to pray for you. Whatever you go through, I will bring what I need to meet your needs. I'll bring food. I'll make a telephone call if it's today. I'll send a card letting you know that we're here to support you and that we love you, and we will be praying for God to give you what only He knows you need at that moment. Usually it's not a word from you. Usually it's just an embrace and a hug. And say, I love you. We care. What can we do to be of help to you right now and in the days to come? Most people are good to pray that day, the day after, the day of the funeral, the day after the funeral. But if we're really a companion and a partner, we're co-workers in the body of Christ, we never stop ministering. We're always there to be of help to someone who is in great, desperate need. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion in experiencing the kingdom of God and the reality of God's ruling power in tribulation. Underline that word, tribulation. In other words, I'm here for you as a brother and companion in reference to the sacrifices you have to make today and in the days to come. Here's an important note you and I need to always remember. Christians are not exempt from tribulation. Christians are not exempt from tribulation. The Christian's tribulation consists largely of persecution and opposition they meet in an unfriendly world. I heard the other day on Fox News that one grade school, we all say the Pledge of Allegiance. They do it too. We said it growing up. They say other things, and at the end of what they would say, he would say over the speaker, and God bless America. One person did not like him saying, God bless America. And because of that, they're going to delete it. One person of opposition did not want to hear God. One person stopped how many Christian parents there that their children go to school? This is the United States of America. God has blessed America. God is still blessing America. And we pray that God will continue to bless America. And the military force that we have of men and women, all that put themselves on the front line to guard and, if necessary, die for the freedom that we have to pray in the name of Jesus Christ and say, in God we trust. Amen. Yes, we love God. We love Jesus Christ. We love Christianity. And we love our guns. And if you don't like it, then get out of here and go somewhere else. Amen. And when you come into the United States of America, don't try coming in here changing our government to be progressive left. America is not a socialistic country. Amen. It is not a progressive left country. It is a country, again, based on biblical principles. And fight if we must, we will, as partners and companions in the power and authority of the living, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There you go. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion, a co-partner, one who shares in tribulation, and in the kingdom, underline the word kingdom. And here's what it means. We are brothers and companions in tribulation and in the privileges of the kingdom. What are the privileges of the kingdom? Partnership and cooperation with one another. When you are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, you receive all the Holy Spirit you're going to get. And after reading this, guess what the Holy Spirit is going to work to produce in you and I as Christian people? Number one, that we be brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Those are grace gifts. They come by the grace of Almighty God. We as God's children should be so close and so intimate that nothing, no one, nobody can separate us in any way. We are there to be with one another through all things. I, Terry, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom, in the privileges of the kingdom, which are partnership and cooperation, that's just a few privileges. And patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. I want to find out how tough you are, spiritually speaking. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. I'm going to read from the Amplified Study Bible. From the Amplified Study Bible. Here we go, verse 1, chapter 6, 2 Corinthians. Working together with Him, we strongly urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. What does it mean not to receive God's grace in vain? Are you saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ? And your answer is?
Yes.
So since you have the grace of God in you, then by the grace of God and by the usage of the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is there to develop your salvation. You have received salvation. You have eternal life. Now the Holy Spirit will work in you to develop your salvation as a child of the living God. All right? Working together with Him, we strongly urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. That is, by turning away from sound doctrine, that is the Word of God, and His merciful kindness. For He says, at the acceptable time, the time of grace, I listened to you, and I helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstruction in anyone's path, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But we, notice the word we. What is that? Co-workers. Co-workers. That is, brothers and companions. Here we go. But we commend, verse 4, ourselves in every way as servants of God, in great endurance, in sufferings, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, in labors, in sleepless nights, in hunger. Stop there for just a moment. Will you still be my brother in all of this? Will you still be a companion in all of this? In all that I'm going through, in all that you may be going through like this, are you going to stay together as Christians? Will there be stickability? Will there be stability? Will you pray as we go through things like this? How many that attend church today would say, I'm out of here, brother. I did not accept Christ to go through all of this. What did Jesus say? If you're going to take up my cross of self-denial, you had better count the cost, because the cost is extremely heavy as a child of the living God. Verse 5, in beatings, in imprisonments, in riots, in labors, in sleepless nights, in hunger. Verse 6, in purity and sincerity, in knowledge and spiritual insight, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in speaking the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand, like holding the sword to attack, and for the left, like holding the shield to defend, amid glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report. When you have fake news that is being thrown in your direction, how are you going to handle it? Are you going to stand your ground? Are we going to gather around the one or the 20 that this fake news is all about? What are you going to do with President Trump? All of this fake news is coming out. All of this game that is coming out by the Democrats, it is nothing but childishness. I would really like to say, what daycare center do you come out of every day when you go up to Washington, D.C.? This is not a child's game. It's not a child's place. It is all about people, supposedly by the wisdom of Almighty God, leading the country of the United States of America. It's not about politics. It is about doing what is right in the eyes of Almighty God. And I'll say this one more time. When it comes to abortion, let me say what the Bible has to say. It is God who creates a life in the womb of a woman. And when a baby has reached full term, and the baby is born, and the doctor is holding that little baby is wrapped up, he says, we'll keep it comfortable, and then the mother and I are going to have a conversation. And it goes like this, do we kill the child, or do we let the child live? Again, that is not your call. That is the call of Almighty God upon the sanctity of human life. Amen. Aren't you glad you're here today?
Yeah.
That's right. Do you know why you're here? Because way back then, Mom and Dad had a whole lot more moral principles than we have today. When a child was born, brother, it was born. I understand there are things to talk about concerning the health and safety of the mother. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is a baby at full term is born. It's not your call. Who are you, God? Are you the creator? I don't think so. Washington, D.C., Democrats and Republicans and a few independents, you are not God.
Amen.
I better stop there. Here we go. Number 9, as unknown to the world, yet well known by God and His people, as dying, yet we live, as punished, yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet bestowing riches on many, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. I'm going to add, through Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. We are speaking freely to you, Christians, Corinthians. We are keeping nothing back. What is a brother in Christ? What is a companion in Christ? We keep nothing back from one another. I give you all I have to give if that's what's necessary for you to have stability and stickability in your life as a child of the living God. If it will give you peace, I'm here to give it. I will pray for the power of God to come upon you, to be in your life. I will pray for the Holy Spirit to go to work and minister you like He's never done before. A a brother, a companion in Christ, a brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Do you see how important you are to one another? It's not an option being a brother. It's not an option being a companion in Christ. Brother, it is a grace gift and it is expected of you and I to wait upon one another, to serve one another, and to pray for one another. Whatever it takes, the sacrifice, let it be. He says in verse 12, there is no limit to our affection. You say, Terry, I don't think I can love that way. Well, let me tell you something. Human love can't. You're talking about the love of God right here. When you were born again by grace through faith in Jesus, you received the love of Almighty God. And the love of God is unconditional. The love of God can embrace a sinner, not concerned about the sin, but concerned about the person that is in it at the moment. He's not here to condemn. He's here to love and embrace and forgive and receive and to walk with you every step of your Christianity until He calls you home to be with Him. Thank you. There is no limit to our affection for you. But you are limited in your own affection for us. Now, in the same way as a fair exchange for our love toward you, I am speaking as I would to children. Open wide your hearts to us also. Back to the printout. Paragraph under 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 13. As Christians, we partner. We cooperate with each other. We join together for a common cause or project. If Harold needs praying for, you come. And I praise you for what you do and how you respond. When someone needs to be prayed for, you come. If you want to sit where you are and do it, that's just fine. Somebody said, Terry, you do this on Sunday morning? Gosh, all the visitors are there. And you have people come forward, you have an altar call on Sunday morning. My gosh, what are they going to think? I don't care what they think. When you have a brother and sister that needs hands laid upon them, that needs to be gathered around, and the children of God need to pray in the power of God, come and do your work upon this son of God or daughter of God. That's what it's all about. I think the problem is we've just been so far away so long. We're ashamed. Isn't this the house of the living God? Are you not the temple of God? For the Holy Spirit has come to dwell in the believer. We join together for a common cause or project. The church, the Christian life is not about self, about what one worker does by himself, but rather what he or she accomplishes in partnership or cooperation with others. And let me tell you something. First Baptist, Mineola, Assembly of God, just because you have a different denominational name doesn't mean we are separate in Christ. Amen. We can still come together if we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. A companion, you got to fill in the blank. Now, husbands will kind of do this to the wives and say, you got that? Here we go. A companion is an encourager. When you come into Hainesville Baptist Church, don't come in here with your mouth turned upside down. Don't come in here negative. You come in here to encourage everyone you come in contact with. And if you can't encourage, keep your mouth shut. A companion is an encourager. One to give relief and inner strength and comfort. It would have been a natural temptation for John's readers to wonder why they were struggling. Have you ever done that? God, why am I struggling? Why am I going through this? Why am I having this adversity, hardship, and trials? Is it something I've done? Does it have to be something you've done? Here's what the Bible says. If you are a child of God, a true child of God, what did we just read? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in what? In tribulation, in hardship, in adversity, in trials. If you're in the kingdom of God, this is inevitable. They're going to come and they're going to happen. And if you have the knowledge of the Word of God that you ought to have, you're not going to be blown away by it. There doesn't have to be anything wrong in your life for God to work however He wants. It would have been a natural temptation for John's readers to wonder why they were struggling, or to wonder if there was something defective or blemished in their faith that allowed these circumstances to rise again. John says, I'm facing the same ordeals. So you got a doctor in front of your name. So you come in here wearing that robe. Oh, it's got to be hot. Look at me. Yeah, look at me. I'm just like you. I'm not way up here. I'm on the same level. I too was at the foot of the cross over 2,000 years ago. Amen. I still have to have the same Jesus you have. I'm not any better. We all struggle. We're all a work in progress. And the preacher should be on that same level where any and everybody, even a child, says, where's Brother Terry? And the youth would say, where's Bro T? And somebody would say, he's in his office along with all the Christmas stuff. I have Christmas all year round. I'm not only a brother and a companion, I'm Santa Claus. If you ever want to walk in there and feel refreshed, go right ahead. Let's go back to the printout. John says, I'm facing the same ordeals. You are not alone in your predicament. I too am facing difficult times. And they said, I thought I'd really messed up in my life somewhere along the way, and God's just really hammering me. And John says, no, that's not it's what's happening. He said, I'm going through the same stuff you are. It's because of our faith. We're speaking it and we're living it, and we're both going through the same things. Won't that make you feel good? Tribulation. The word tribulation is thlipsis in the Greek. This particular word means more than hardship or difficulties. This is what you don't have. It also refers to the effects it will have on body or mind, or both body and mind at the same time. It describes the most excruciating type of stress and pressure. Underline the word excruciating. That's what the word tribulation here means. Excruciating type of stress and pressure. John informed his readers that he had been subjected to an extreme level of crushing and debilitating pressure because of his what? Some said, man, I hadn't been there. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you speak your faith? Do you live your faith? Go to school and speak and live your faith, and you're going to get a phone call. Your parents are. Go to work, and you're going to be called into the supervisor's office. Even in some churches, we don't want to sing about the blood of Jesus Christ anymore. That's gory. Is your sin any better?
No.
What was the Christ? What was the cross? Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ paid your sin debt in full.
Amen.
You owe nothing. Why do I need to be saved? Because he didn't die for unbelief. Unbelief is the only sin that'll send a person to hell. The devil says, don't you believe that? It's your sins. And remember, you've done this and you've done that. There's no way God's going to forgive you or accept you. Listen to what the Bible says. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting lives. And then the good old Baptists say, well, you got to confess your sins. Can you remember all of them? Good luck. I sure can't. It would be an incomplete confession. Do you think Jesus accepts anything incomplete? God accepted a full payment of sin. Paid in full. Period. Non-negotiable. It was so paid in full, I'm coming out of the tomb. Brother, they're going to put me there, and I'm going to come out as a resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ. I have paid your sins in full.
Amen.
Let's continue to keep going. Try to imagine the last paragraph. How John must have felt when he realized he was going to be placed on a ship carrying criminals and deposited on one of the worst island prisons in the world. There won't be a Red Dome. There won't be a Whataburger. There won't be a McDonald's, thank goodness. There won't be anything good. Well, God, why are you taking me there? What have I done? The answer is nothing. There's something I'm going to do with you that you have no idea. Here we go. Try to imagine how John must have felt when he realized he was going to be placed on a ship carrying criminals and deposited on one of the worst island prisons in the world. He landed on an island with no food, clothes, shelter, or help. Whoa. He must have been tempted to feel trapped and unable to negotiate his way out of the circumstances. John knew what it meant to be pinned against a wall with no way of escape. Page 2. Dadgummit. Top of page 2. But John faced, what did he face? Spiritual warfare, imprisonment, and opposition to Antichrist governments. But John did what? He faced and overcame the worst kind of situation. This earned him the right to speak to others who were facing terrible odds. I have a feeling, Harold, we get through this. I just wonder who's lined up for you to talk to that needs to hear. Jim, you're the same way. You've been through the stuff, cancer. I wonder who's lined up behind you that is next in line to hear what you went through and how you got through it. John was their partner in tribulation because the kingdom of Jesus is one that is entered through what? The patient endurance of suffering. Sound like a feel-good message? Acts 14:22. Through, underline the word through. It means continue in the faith. You got to go through. He didn't say stop. He said go through. Through many tribulations, through many hardships, we as Christians must, underline the word must. The word must in the Greek means it is inevitable. What does that mean? It's going to happen. So you need to be educated about it. We must enter the kingdom of God. Romans 12:12. Constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ. Steadfast and patient in distress. Devoted to prayer. Continually seeking wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is understanding. Wisdom is discernment. Wisdom is proper application of what is good and right from God. Then he talks about guidance and he talks about strength. 1 Thessalonians 3:2-3. And so we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's servant, well, in spreading the good news of Christ to strengthen and encourage you, exhorting, comforting, and establishing in regard to your faith, so that no one would be unsettled by these difficulties to which I have referred. For you know that we have been destined, underline the word destined, it means to establish new Christians in the faith. Now I want you to listen to this. Paul's concern did not focus on health, wealth, and self-esteem or ease of life, but rather the spiritual quality of life. Their faith was of supreme importance. How many of you would say right now, the most important thing in my life is faith? The kingdom of God promises what? Tribulation. And delivers peace and confidence and eternal salvation. Jesus will bring hope and change. Make no mistake about it. Your best life is not now. Your best life will begin when the skies are split by the shout of the archangel. Here's a question. What is the lesson for us? If you want to follow Jesus, know that the road to heaven is not paved with gold and lined with daisies. Jesus, who is loved by God, was sent into the wilderness. Now I want you to understand, the devil didn't take Jesus into the wilderness, the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness. And you have the same Holy Spirit in you that Jesus had to take him in the wilderness. If you are a follower, you can expect the same. Please listen even more closely. Baptism into Christ does not mean health and wealth and a shallow happiness. Baptism into Christ means self-denial, suffering, trials, and temptations. Terry, where'd you get that from the Scripture? This is not because God doesn't like us or love us. Rather, it is because He does. Gold is refined through fire, not by being thrown into a pile of marshmallows. We move like our Lord did from our baptism into a battle that will prove and refine our character. Last little statement. We must do battle against sin, the world, and the devil. For our flesh, this world, and the devil will fight against us. Our battles are to make us stronger and purer. And if you will go through your tribulations, they will give you an inner strength like you've never had before. Don't just stand. Go forward. For the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Most gracious Heavenly Father, help those that only preach health, wealth, and prosperity. That's only a partial truth of the Bible. The other truth is sin, Satan, the world, the flesh, they're going to fight against us even if we don't fight against them. We are to stand our ground. We are to move forward. Our weapons have already been provided. We are equipped with the armor of God in Ephesians. And by the armor of God, the power of God and His authority, there's nothing we cannot overcome. It's time the church stood up and stopped letting one or two out of 1,000 change things in Satan's way. We are a child of the living God. We're in the kingdom that is full of privileges. Let us partner. Let us learn how to be a companion. And let us learn how to cooperate with one another, that we will be of the proper assistance that needs to be there in whatever the time, whatever the adversity, whatever the hardship, whatever the trial. And let the love of God fill our hearts, that we will love our partners and we will be a loving companion as we stand together in all the opposition against the word and the testimony of God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.